A very, very good Tuesday to you and yours. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, soon to be streaming here as well on our Facebook page and Facebook feed there. As the kids say nowadays, smash that like button, share the stream, all that good stuff. Daily Sports Talk Show Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. And we are up in business there. Our big, big thanks go out to Cy for doing his thing over there on the old book face. Appreciate that. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure on this Tuesday. Coming up towards the back half of the show, your Aberdeen Wings, Wings Weekly. And coming up here in the next 10 to 15 minutes, we'll be talking some Aberdeen Central Girls Wrestling with Jake Flockus. He'll be joining us as well. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday installment of the show. Matt McClure, Cobra, how are you, sir?
Doing all right. How are you doing?
Doing okay. I had my first sip of coffee here. I didn't burn anything. So that's a win.
That's always a win.
You know, we had the first day back. A lot of people were off around the holidays and what have you. And I saw so many memes on social media. It's like, oh, it's the first day back. And it's like, well, we kind of sort of worked through the holidays anyway. I mean, you took off some time. I took off some time. But by and large, we were back in studio here this last week. And some people were not off this last week or anyway, anything like that. But it's like the first day back, and I had that sort of thing, like the first day, quote-unquote, back in studio, first full week anyway, and my first sip of coffee, boom, just burned the left-hand side of my throat, just completely through.
Just went down the wrong side?
Oh, it's brutal. Absolutely brutal.
That's tough.
Not a good way to start a work week or the Sports Hub yesterday. So if I sounded a little bit loopy yesterday, that's why. Burned my throat.
Well, I hope that's better for you.
Come off to a good start.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't completely destroy my esophagus, so that's a win. That's a win, that is for sure. All right, lots of things to get to today on the show. Talking some Aberdeen Central wrestling notes. Talked about that here momentarily with that brief tease. Speaking of Aberdeen Central, they're also in the latest poll. We'll talk about that on the high school girls and boys front. Just a kind of a sparse schedule last night on the girls and boys basketball hardwood. D1 FCS National Championship went to those folks up in North Dakota territory as the Bison. They win their 10th title in the last 14 years, downing Montana State 35-32 there last night. You had the NSIC have a player here locally that has been honored. Talk about that. And we've got ourselves a very, very busy Tuesday ahead of us on the high school basketball front. A couple of broadcasts on our airwaves as well. One doubleheader, one single header, as it were, and the old battle for Aberdeen. I don't know if that's actually a thing or not, but it should be, as Aberdeen Christian takes on Aberdeen Ron Colley tonight. We'll have that broadcast for you over on Pheasant Country 103. Am I missing anything?
Is that game at the Civic tonight, or is that at Ron Colley?
That's at Ron Colley's gym tonight.
Okay.
I feel like you could do something like that at, like, Golden Eagles Arena, neutral site.
That'd be cool.
That'd be kind of a cool deal, right?
We should do that. Have a neutral site game like that, played at a couple spots.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be totally in for that. Like, 1 year you played at the Civic, one year you played at Ron Colley, then 1 year you played at Golden Eagles Arena or something like that. That's a good idea, man. Yeah.
I know Ron Colley people are like, shut up. We want to play that game at our home place. And I get that, too. But I don't know. Maybe you can sneak in something like that, or maybe even at the Barnett Center or the old Strode Center on the campus of Presentation College. That'd be kind of cool.
They should definitely do something like that.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. I would be totally all in on that. Sorry, Ron Colley folks, but then again, you're probably going to play at Aberdeen's Christian's place at some point in time. So then they'll get hosed the next time. So what goes around comes around. don't be too mad at me. You can send your hate mail to david@hubcityradio.com. I'm a big boy. I can take it. All right, he's Matt McClure. We call him
Mr. Unlimited.
Let's get to the jump right here on the program on FSA. Again, Daily Sports Talk Show. Check out our ugly bugs there on Facebook, facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. Our thanks to Cy for that. And you can see I've got my Grinch shirt, my action green Seahawks shirt, a team that will not be in the playoffs. Of course, we talked about that yesterday, and that's okay. I am very much indeed looking forward to a stress-free playoffs. And that's kind of a positive about your team not being in the playoffs. It's also a negative, too. You don't have that anxiety looking forward to the game. You're on pins and needles every single play. But, you know, for me, I can just crack a cold one and sit back and relax, eat some chips and peanuts, and just watch some good football.
Yeah, you're going to be able to just relax and watch the games. I won't be able to do that Saturday night because I'll be on Pins and Needles, that's for sure. Another AFC North battle between my Ravens and Steelers. Those games are always classics. I'm glad that game's happening. I know Ravens fans were saying, oh, do we want to play the Chargers? Nah, beat the Steelers, eliminate them for the playoffs would be cool. And that's what Steelers fans are thinking too. Hey, this is Ravens-Steelers, the best rivalry in all football. So, hey, it's going to be a fun one there on Saturday.
Really looking forward to that matchup there in particular. And let's see, Saturday night, I might have to listen to this game on the radio or something like that because I'll be making my way back from Sioux Falls. So I'm going to miss a pretty good amount, if not all, of the Saturday action. But you've got Houston and L.A. at 3:30 on Saturday, like we talked about yesterday, and you shot me a text. All of the Houston Texans playoff games in their series history, in their franchise's history, every single doggone one of them, it's always been at 3:30 on Saturday.
That tweet was amazing because I saw that after we talked about it yesterday. I'm like, Tukes, you're right, 100%. And sure enough, back at it Saturday at 3:30 or 4:30, the Houston Texans. It's death taxes and the Houston Texans playing on Saturday afternoon in the wild card.
Yeah, if the Texans are playing in the playoffs, you can pretty much book it. They're playing in that opening game there. Looking forward to that. Then Baltimore hosting Pittsburgh there, like you mentioned, on Saturday night.
That game's on Amazon, by the way.
Yeah, Prime Video. What are we doing?
I don't know. That's they did the same thing last year when they put that game on Peacock.
What
was it? That Chiefs. Yeah. Dolphins game that no one watched because it was minus 15 degrees.
And the screen color was all tinted.
Yeah. So, yeah, that game's on Prime.
Stupid. Also of note, triple header on Sunday, Buffalo hosts Denver. Philadelphia brings in Green Bay. Remember, that's a rematch of that Brazil game, opening game of the season. And then Tampa Bay hosts Washington for the nightcap there. And, of course, 1 week from yesterday, the Rams host the Minnesota Vikings. So those are all teams that are in the playoffs. One team that is not in the playoffs this year, the Cincinnati Bengals. We talked about them a little bit yesterday, and I saw this on social media this morning, and I thought to myself, this has got to be a joke, but it's actually serious. Are you familiar with change.org?
I am not.
So change.org is a website. People go on there and they, you know, gripe about stuff, and, you know, this is a stupid thing, we need to change this. Wouldn't it be a good idea if we changed this law? All those sorts of things. So on change.org this morning, I saw this, and I quote, "The Bengals should be in the playoffs as the fourth wild card since the Chiefs obviously threw this game. Under the unfair act clause, the Chiefs, quote-unquote, throwing the game against the Broncos today," of course referring to Sunday, "should result in the team facing violations for their actions as they definitely undermined the integrity of the game." And that's a quote. And I can see Cobra over there is having a hard time with this.
That might be one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Are you kidding me with that?
No, I'm not kidding.
If I would have saw that tweet, I would have said, that's not real. And then you did the digging up, and obviously it is real. That is just complete idiocy, in my opinion. It's not like the Chiefs were going out there throwing that game. Now, if you're a Chiefs fan, maybe. But if you're Chiefs fans might say different, but I don't buy that for 1 second. Not for a second.
They did put Carson Wentz out there.
And they did have a couple third strings.
Yeah, they had some backups in that game. But this has been happening since the bicentennial. Yeah, and everyone's putting in backups in week 17, or in this case week 18, when they don't need to win. Backups play all the time. But I think if you would ask Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, all those guys, hey, do you want to play Cincinnati in the playoffs or not? They'd be like, we're good. We'll play anybody else.
I think you're spot on. I think that if Cincinnati made the playoffs, they could make some noise just because of how lethal their offense is.
Yeah.
But their defense was so bad. I know it played better down the stretch. It doesn't matter. I think you'd have to get into shootouts with some of those teams, and I don't really see. It seemed like when Joe Burrow would get in those shootouts this year, he'd always have that one turnover that would dig them in. Mm-hmm. I don't think that would have changed in the playoffs if they did make it. Now, they would be a compelling team because of how great Burrow and the offense is. But, hey, don't lose to the Patriots. Don't start every season in September 0-2. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what Zach Taylor does in the offseason. It's like you guys are never ready to play in September. And they always start like 0-2, 1-3, and they couldn't dig themselves out of the hole.
Every game matters. Doesn't matter what sport we're talking about. Every game matters. Same thing in baseball. You get these teams that are going down to a pennant race, and they're down by a game and a half or a half a game. It's just like, remember that game you lost in mid-May?
To the White Sox.
Yeah, when you were up by seven runs in the eighth inning. Well, you kind of blew it. So it all matters. It all comes back to hurt you. There's no two ways about that. So this is something, and I'm not trying to be prisoner of the moment, guy, but I really cannot recall ever seeing anything like this ever before in my life. I'm 34 years old. It's not to say it's never happened before, but I personally have never seen it. There's a gal for Indiana. Not Indiana, but Indiana Miss Basketball. She's a high school girl, okay? She is officially committed to Purdue. She's signed her national letter of intent to play for the Boilermakers. She is Miss Indiana Basketball. Her name is, or she's a candidate anyway. This should cement her. She goes to high school at South Bend, Washington. They won their 15th game of the season, and her numbers in a game I've never seen before. Are you ready for the stat line? 14 points, 18 rebounds, triple-double with 12 assists, 11 steals, so that's a quadruple-double.
Okay.
And 10 block shots. A quintuple
what?
Double. I have never seen that before. Again, it's not to say it's never happened. I'm sure it probably has in some state that I'm not familiar with, but Kira Reynolds from South Bend Washington High School in Indiana, 14 points, 18 rebounds, 12 assists, 11 steals, 10 block shots, a quintuple double for that squad.
I've never seen that before.
Wow.
I mean, if you get 10 blocks in a game,
wow,
that's incredible.
That in and of itself is incredible.
10 blocks in the game is incredible. I've never heard of that. I don't even think I've heard really of, you know, a quadruple, or how do you say it?
Quadruple-double.
Quadruple-double. Yeah, I don't think I've ever really heard of that either. They get 11 steals and 10 blocks? What?
Never seen that before. The closest I've seen to 10 steals in a game is 8. In person, anyway. Rio had it last year against Bemidji. And there was a game over, was it last week? We had a game with 9 steals in it?
Yeah, we did. Oh, who was that?
I'd have to double-check our website.
I'll have to double-check, yeah. But, yeah, 9 steals. I think the most I've seen in person is 7 in an Aberdeen Central game last year. I don't know exactly who it was, but I think that's the most I've seen in person.
I got to say this one more time. 14 points, 18 rebounds, 12 assists, 11 steals, 10 block shots. Big shout out to Kyra Reynolds, and you can insert the Vince Carter "It's Over" meme right here. I think she's officially Indiana Miss Basketball. It's pretty phenomenal stuff.
I mean, and what's incredible to that is, you know, everybody looks at scoring as being the ultimate stat, and mm-hmm. she only had 14 points. She did literally everything else but have an average game scoring. That's what makes that even better. It's not like, oh, I had 50 points. And then, she would have had 50 points and all that, or 30 points and all that. You'd be like, you're the best high school basketball player ever.
Yeah.
But the fact that she's doing that with just an average 14-point game is incredible.
Very, very well done. No doubt about it. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some high school girls wrestling. Jake Flockus, he'll be joining us after this on FSA. Just a little chilly out there, that is for sure. Get yourself some hot cocoa or hot tea or hot coffee. Make sure it's not scalding like I made that. Clear and present danger to my body yesterday with my throat, but I'm okay. I know you care about that a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm okay.
That's good.
Yeah. All right. Good to be with you here on this Tuesday installment of the Sports Hub. We're talking some Aberdeen Central girls wrestling. Jake Flockus, head coach of the squad. He joins us on the program. Coach, good to talk with you this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad you could have me on.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're able to take some time out of your busy morning and join us here, and hopefully you have not burned yourself on any hot liquids here to start up the new year, and that's neither here nor there. This is the last time I'm going to mention it, I promise. But anyways, a great start for you guys here in the 24 and 25 season, and we're going to certainly take a look back at the weekend that was with the Rumble on the Red, and I was putting the sports together over the weekend, Coach, and for the boys, it looked like about 60-plus teams there. For the girls, pretty similar, about 58. Where do you look? I mean, when you're not obviously coaching, you're dialed in and you're focused on your gals and everything like that, but Well, what's the atmosphere in an event like that? Probably pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. You know, I've been around it for a while, so I'm used to it. But I think some of the girls thought it was a little intimidating. I think they had 22 mats across the whole football field on the Fargo Dome. And then you walk in and you just see the stands that, you know, go up 50 rows high, and there's a bunch of fans, and there's, I think there were 2,000 wrestlers at the event as a whole. So I think intimidating for some of them right away, but also exciting at the same time. Just being able to, you know, get that opportunity. I think a lot of them, that was the biggest wrestling tournament they'll ever wrestle at in their life. So again, intimidating, but also exciting.
And that's what we were talking about yesterday, Coach Flock. It's Matt McClure here. Thanks a lot for taking some time to join us. But kind of showcasing your talents against a lot of different teams that you're probably not familiar with and a lot of schools from all around the Midwest, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of North Dakota and Minnesota teams. I think a couple from Nebraska and Montana as well. We were one of the two South Dakota girls teams that went there, so it was a really good time to see other competition and see, you know, how we hold up against the other top teams in mainly North Dakota and Minnesota.
So kind of a dumb question as Jake Flockus joins us here on FSA, but how does this even come to be? Do you get invited to this, or do you send something out to the organizer of an event like this to say, hey, we'd like to compete? How does this even kind of come to be?
You know, Aberdeen's had a good tradition with the Rumble and the Red in the past. We've always been one of the top-performing teams there. And I think they kind of have always sent us an invite. Sometimes it doesn't work with their schedule, but we just decided to make a change this year. So we kind of had the open invite, and this year we decided to take it instead of going up to Bismarck. So we just kind of traded one tournament for another. But it's definitely an honor to be invited or to be asked to it, and then especially to perform the way we did. I thought it was a great, great weekend overall.
And you guys have been performing well all season. How do you think the season has gone here in 2024, 2025? Have you really liked the progress from the gals this year?
You know, overall, I'd say I've been proud of the progress they made. Right before Christmas break, we won our first tournament ever as a program. We won the Madison Invite, which was a huge accomplishment. And, you know, like all wrestling tournaments, there's a lot of ups and downs throughout the day. You know, some girls might not have been satisfied with the finish they had. But, you know, a lot of people think that wrestling is an individual sport, and it's more than that. It's a team sport. And so even though each girl, you know, might not have had the finish they thought they could or they could have done a little bit better, they all still pulled it together, you know, to win that tournament. And that's kind of what we had to do in Fargo as well. You know, each girl has to do their piece, and over the whole weekend and the whole year, there's going to be ups and downs. You know, some of our good girls lose matches that they shouldn't. But on the flip side, we've had some, you know, some girls that have made a lot of progress, a couple girls that have never wrestled before, and they're winning a lot of matches. So I'm really proud of the progress that they've made so far. And it gives us something to work on in the room and to keep building and keep setting those goals.
Certainly off to a great start, no doubt about it, as Jake Flockus joins us here on the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen. So I'm going to kind of, I've got a kind of a roundabout question here, and I'm going to have to ask you to kind of stay with me because I, in my brain, this is kind of a weird question, but we just got South Dakota softball sanctioned as a high school sport here, and it feels like teams that are good have great pitching. You know, wrestling for girls wrestling is relatively new here in the state. It's really growing like hot. It's selling like hotcakes, feels like. Is there something in wrestling for girls in particular that you really absolutely have to have, like softball? You have to have a great pitcher to really take you far? And it's kind of a weird question, but kind of a roundabout way to kind of get there. Is there a certain something like that you absolutely have to have a successful wrestling program, like how in softball you have to have really good pitching?
You know, I wouldn't say that there's any really physical statures. I mean, you know, obviously strength and flexibility help, but there's girls who, I mean, they probably wouldn't call themselves that strong or that flexible. It's things more like grit, like their willingness to have endurance and to stay tough. So if anything, I would say things like that. If you can be tough and aggressive, you'll be okay. You'll beat other wrestlers. And that's kind of a difference between the girls that win a lot of matches and the girls that are struggling to find success, is if they're willing to go out there and to take risks and to be tougher than their opponent. Even if they're not as physically well-built as their opponent, if you're willing to be tough and to stay, stay patient and keep grinding when matches get tough, you'll have a lot of success. So I'd say that's the number one thing that sets apart the girls that are improving and that are doing well and the girls that are staying a little stagnant.
I remember to start the season when we looked at the rosters, we were like, wow, there's a lot of girls that came out for wrestling this year. You got a really big roster. Can you kind of just talk about your approach, to get the youth and these girls interested to come out and wrestle? Because I feel like that could be something, hey, you're trying to build a program here. You need that interest, right?
Yeah, you need that interest, and I meet at Holgate and Simmons and try and get some middle school girls out. But most of the way the girls come out is just by word of mouth from other girl wrestlers. They'll say, hey, we got a pretty special sports team here at Aberdeen. You should join it. So I do some recruiting. I talk to girls about it for sure, but I would say it's the other leaders on my team, the upperclassmen, that have been getting other girls to come out and wrestle. I think every single girl I got on my team is out for wrestling because they had an older girl approach them in the last, either this year or last couple years, they approached them and said, hey, you should come out and try wrestling. So a lot of my upperclassmen have been really crucial in getting other girls out, and that's why we got about 30 girls out, 6 through 12.
And kind of to piggyback on what Tukes asked earlier about just kind of the growth, and he said, it's kind of like going like hotcakes. The girls wrestling nationally, it's really rising. What do you think's fueling that growth? What do you think is the main reason why it's getting so popular?
I think part of it might just be that, they weren't able to do it for a while. Women's Olympic wrestling hasn't been around that long. It's been around much shorter than the guys. So, I think part of the appeal is that it's just something that they weren't able to do, and now that it is, there's a whole new crowd of people that are willing to try it. And then the other factor I'd say is I think some girls just didn't find their place in either basketball or gymnastics. Basketball, gymnastics, and wrestling are all three very different sports, and if you can't dribble or shoot a ball like me or most other wrestlers, and if you just don't have the agility for gymnastics, wrestling is kind of where you fall in line. You still got to be athletic, but you can use a little bit more aggression. So I think wrestling is just kind of that natural fit for girls that didn't find themselves able to do gymnastics or basketball. And I think it's awesome because now we got a whole other sport for girls to try. And I think also it comes down to, athletes want to be a part of something. They want to be a part of a team. They want to be a part of a culture. And wrestling now gives them one more opportunity. It gives them one more team to kind of cling to, one more, we always call our team a little family, one more little family to invest in and for other people to have your back and you have their back. So I'd say that's probably the biggest thing. It gives them something to invest in. Especially if they haven't had luck with basketball or gymnastics.
Yeah, more friendships to blossom there, like you mentioned, no doubt about it. And probably final one here before we get you out of here, Coach, is Jake Flaccus joins us on FSA. We'd like to talk about every single athlete individually if we had the time, but I'm just looking at who had the best finish there at the Rumble on the Red, and Maddie Little placing second there in the 100-pound weight class. What have you seen from her and her maturation process and finishing in second place amongst, 67 teams? 67 teams. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, she's kind of new to our program. She, I think last year was her first year wrestling, but she really committed herself this summer to just getting mat time. She went to a lot of tournaments. But I think the biggest thing that's helped Maddie find success is her ability to be tough in matches. She's a little bit different than some of the other young girl wrestlers that we've had in the past, light girl wrestlers. Like Madison Gillen had a lot of success last year just because she would go out and pin the girl in 20 seconds.
where Maddie Little has seen success because she can endure and she can hang on in tight matches. Her first tournament, I think half her matches went the distance, and that's pretty rare for girls' matches. Usually they end in a pin. But she was able to show that she can stay tough, she can finish matches, and that's a good quality to have, especially at a tournament that big, where each round you're seeing someone tougher and tougher. So her ability to endure and just, you know, not lose position, to stay in good position in those tough matches, I think that kind of sets her apart from the rest. And she's very aggressive. She'll go out and attack. She doesn't wait for the other girl. She wants to go get takedowns and turns, and she is very aggressive, and that helps her as well.
Well, continued success here certainly this season. Next event here is tonight down south in Huron against the Tiger Squad before going out west to Pierre there coming up this Friday. So that should be a lot of fun there as well. Or is that Thursday, actually? I take that. No, it's Friday. Okay. Well, looking forward to those matchups and those duels and what have you. Coach, appreciate you doing this, and good luck the rest of the way.
Yes, thank you for having me on.
Our pleasure, for sure. Head coach Jake Flock is joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420. And at 98.5, and does that question make any sense? Because, you know, in softball, that's the new thing in the state, and you have to have good pitching. And it feels like in wrestling, he was kind of basically saying there's those certain aspects that you absolutely have to have.
Well, I think he answered it at the end of that. I think you got to be aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, in a situation like that. And Madison Little, who he was talking about there, she seems to be aggressive. If you're timid, kind of nervous on the spot there, this is an individual sport. If you don't go after it and try to be aggressive early, you're going to get pinned and you're going to get a takedown. I mean, I think that has something to do with it because it's just such a new sport. Who's going to be, you know, there's a lot of technique and skill based with it. If you're not aggressive and you know, wanting to be the one that, you know, gets the takedown, you're going to be in trouble. And I think that's probably why you see some girls have a little bit more success than others, because some are just, hey, I want to be out there and be aggressive right away. Some, it's going to take some time because it is such a new sport. You're trying to learn some different things. So that would be my answer to that.
I also think it's kind of funny. Her last name is Little. She's only in eighth grade and the 100-pound weight class, but she's a beast.
Yeah.
So good start for her, certainly. And sky is the limit. Off to a great start. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some high school news and notes as it pertains to the polls and a very sparse schedule from last night on the high school hardwood. Plus, don't forget your Aberdeen Wings, Wings Weekly, coming up towards the back half of the program as well. Sports Up continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our thanks to Jake Flockus for joining us here earlier, talking some Aberdeen Central girls wrestling. Sticking on the Aberdeen Central side of things, congratulations for the first time, but certainly not the last time, to the Aberdeen Central girls basketball squad as they are officially climbing the ranks for the first time this season. They are in the receiving votes category. O'Gorman, of course, a not quite unanimous selection, but 14 of the 15 first place votes going for them, fresh off of their perfect season their last year, followed by Washington, Brandon Valley, Stevens, and Spearfish. But getting back to Aberdeen Central, a good start for them, certainly, and Coach Peyton Burkhardt doing a nice job with the program.
Yeah, really a great start, 4-1 to start. They struggled against Rapid City Stevens the second game of the season, but they really battled back. That two-game win streak they had at home right before Christmas was just massive. That win in triple overtime versus Spearfish, a team that knocked you out of the playoffs last year, I think that was a big-time confidence booster for that team. They went out on the road against Yankton and really got a big-time performance from Emma Dore. I'm not surprised to see them in the receiving votes category. I think by when it's all said and done, you could see them lurking in that top five. When I think they got a really good team. I think they're going to continue to get better with the new kind of offensive system. They're great on defense already. I think this team's going to be pretty good this year.
Looking forward to seeing them more and more continuing to climb those ranks, hopefully. And also of note within the region, you have Hamlin in Class A sitting in the number five spot. They dropped from 2 to 5, and not a whole lot of other regional representation there in Class A. In Class B, Castlewood is in the receiving votes category and kind of on the outskirts of our region. Sanborn Central, Woonsocket, they're in the number five spot.
I'm just looking at the Central schedule real fast. They play number one O'Gorman on January 21st at home. So that's
2 weeks from today.
That's 2 weeks from today, but they got Sioux Falls Lincoln 1-5. They got Watertown, who's struggling, at 1-3 before that. T 2-4. So if you can get some momentum here, stack up some wins, and you're...
Another edition of Wings Weekly starts now. And, well, folks, we're back to the grind. The holiday season is over. The break is over. All that kind of stuff. Getting back into a regular tempo. Coach, Friday night here at the ODI Center, a 4-1 win against the Minnesota Mallards. You know, we talked prior to the game, and you mentioned, you know, that the boys, practice-wise, had really good energy and a lot of excitement. And you could kind of see that there in the first. There was a really quick tempo, it seemed like, to that first period there on Friday night. They spent a lot of time in the penalty box. You guys did get a power play goal and then kept things rolling to win that 1-4-1. Your takeaways from Friday?
A lot of good chances in that game. We generated a lot. Our volume was good, too. I mean, we got the big power play goal, which is, I think, was important. And, you know, we held their penalty kill. So, I mean, we won the specialty team game that night. And I think that was obviously the difference in the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it seemed like there was a lot of energy in that game. I want to say from both sides, really, because they kind of hung with you for the, you know, in the first, and I was really surprised, actually, at the back and forth. And you talked about, you know, kind of trying to stay away from a track meet. But it seemed like in the second and third, particularly, you were able to, you know, spend a lot more time in zone and, you know, put pressure on and really rack up those shots on goal. And like you said, chances and good quality chances, too. I'm not talking about dump ins that just happened to, you know, hit the goaltender's stick or something like that. You know, when you break it down by period or whatever, and I think, and I've said this, I don't know how many times over the course of the year, but for some reason, you guys seem to really come on strong in the third period in a lot of different games. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, I mean, you get two periods to adjust, obviously make some adjustments that could help you improve your game against the opposition. So, you know, and it's just, I mean, I guess you don't really know. I mean, some teams start really hot all the time. Some teams finish really well. You know, we've kind of been a team that kind of builds up as the game goes on. We seem to get better. And, you know, and up until Saturday's game, that's kind of been what we've been having success with, just getting better each period and, you know, finding ways to generate chances and be good defensively.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of it for sure. And the kill was strong, obviously, on Friday night there, too. As he said, the, you know, the special teams really was a big difference maker. We move on to Saturday. Ends up in a 4-2 loss. Again, a power play goal. They had, you had several chances. Again, I think they were in the box 16 times over the course of the weekend. Yeah, 9 on Friday and 7 on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. But it seemed a little bit more flat on Saturday for one reason or another. I want to say the generic, what are your takeaways from it? But maybe a better question is, what did you see that you wish you could have cleaned up a little bit, or maybe something that was missing from Saturday night?
Well, our entire defensive structure wasn't very good Saturday night, you know, and talked about it on the bench, talked about it during the intermissions, and you know, they're a team that likes to take you one-on-one all over the ice. So you have to be good defensively one-on-one and also as a team. And we gave up some chances there just by their skill level and, you know, us just not defending the way that we normally defend. So, you know, we coughed that one puck up on the power play. We made a bad decision at the blue line and, you know, it ends up in the back of the net. Not all that certain about the game tying goal. It just was an odd goal to me. It looked like, you know, Cunningham kind of ducked out of the way of it. I don't know if he thought it was tipped or I don't know. But I mean, again, we had opportunities. We certainly didn't lay off the gas when it came to trying to create offense. You know, we had the breakaway there that we didn't score on. We had the Sauerdahl in backhand that hit the post we didn't score on, and there was one of the posts that we hit. But, you know, those type of games, when they're not going your way, you just got to stay at it defensively. You have enough to win when you're up 2-1, and you should just manage the game and try to get out of there 2-1 and move on to the next weekend.
Yeah. Well, and defensively, throughout the course of the year, you guys have been pretty strong. I mean, there's been some breakdowns here or there, no doubt, but and there's going to be. It is what it is, I guess. But, you know, an interesting thing, you know, when we're going to talk about standings in just a bit, but all of the top four teams in the Central Division split the weekend. So it's – and the standings, again, we'll get to that in just a bit, but they're very close. And, you know, you've got Bismarck coming up here. What have you seen from Bismarck? Now, it's a little different, obviously. Mallard's come into town. There's guys with no nameplates on and guys that have just been added. I would imagine that preparation-wise, that's a little different. But this Bismarck team seems like, anyway, it's had the same structure throughout. And obviously, they're coached very well, too. But what have you seen from the Bobcats that, you know, you can try to work on or come away with some points up there in Bismarck?
Yeah, I mean, we have to play well. I mean, they're a team, they have four lines, and they have good six, you know, good D that play some good minutes for them. And obviously, their goaltender is one of the tops in the leagues right now. And, you know, we can't, I think the biggest thing is we can't play the way we played this weekend, or else... we're not going to have a whole lot of success up there in Bismarck. So, you know, we have to go back to the grind this week and back to hard work and focus. And, you know, we need to play them the same way we played them last time they were in our building, where we put two really good games together and almost, you know, swept them. So this is the time of the year now that it's make or break. You got the next six games against the top teams that are sitting above you, and you got to figure out a way to win some of those.
Yeah, very true. What? Okay, so when you say, you can't play the way you did this weekend, what's the message to the group as the week goes along and as you prepare? What changes? Or does it come from within? Does it come from the leadership?
I mean, I made it well known after Saturday's game, and I don't go into the locker room after a loss, but I was not happy with how we played that game, you know, from start to finish, even though we had enough to win and we gave up two quick goals there. You know, it was just one of those games where we just weren't on as a unit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once they scored that second one, and that was hard. You know, we're a team that pushes the pace normally, and we try to dictate the play, and I thought the Mallards on Saturday did a little more of that than we did. You know, we were right in the game because we're a more talented hockey team, but you know, they worked really hard, and we can't be outworked. Like, it's not going to be. So I mean, I made my message clear, and if that doesn't bother this group, then I don't think there's any competitiveness in their bones. And I know, based on, you know, talking to the guys and the text messages I get and all that stuff, that, you know, they want to move past it. They want to get better this week, and they want to focus on Bismarck, and, you know, they don't want to hear any more about it. And, you know, I think they're right. I mean, I reached out to a good friend, my friend Jay Verity, who coaches in Detroit in the NHL, and I just asked him, you know, based on this type of weekend, and, you know, he just says, you know what, you're going to have a lot of them. It's the game of hockey, and you got to move past it as quick as possible. He suggested I give them the day off, and didn't want to give them the day off because I thought they needed some skills practices with the forwards and the D by themselves, and just to kind of go back to work, and, you know, tomorrow we'll go back harder. But I mean, we can sit and dwell on it, and, you know, it's happening. But it's not going to change the outcome of this next weekend. I can tell you that. The longer that we think about that loss, the less prepared we're going to be to play Bismarck.
You know, I would think that that's on a few levels, both emotionally, mentally, all kinds of different ways. So you're right. And I'm not trying to dwell on it, Coach. I'm not. I'm just trying to break things down a little bit. I asked you last week if you had watched the World Juniors at all. Of course, the U.S. winning gold last night for back-to-back years. Did you get a chance to catch any of that?
Yeah, I caught most of the game. I mean, I was thought Finland came out really, really strong, really, really good. And then the U.S. got a fortunate break there, and they just kind of stuck with their game plan. And obviously, you know, that whole staff is the same staff, and back-to-back gold medals is pretty impressive at the World Juniors. So my hat's off to Coach Carl and all those guys with that staff.
Man, I'm watching stuff online and things where the Canadian team is just getting absolutely roasted. I mean, by fans, by everybody. It's kind of wild, actually, to follow along with all that stuff. We talked about standings. Bismarck right now, 52 points there. At the top of the division, they have been really since the start of the season. Austin with 49, Minot 43, Aberdeen with 41. Like I said, top four, all very close, really, within striking distance of one another. The Wings now in fourth, but they jumped past Minot and were in third just, what, a week ago. You know, so it's heating up, and I know it's still midway through the season, but it's getting interesting. And then you've got St. Cloud with 32 points, who got absolutely shelled by Bismarck on Friday night and then came back and won on Saturday night. So you just can't rule any of these teams out. It's interesting. North Iowa with 26 points, Mallards with 20, and Watertown with 15. And again, all of the four bottom teams won on Saturday night, or bottom in the standings anyway. But you know, they're still scratching. They're still finding ways. And like Coach and I just talked about, we've got Bismarck up next, and that's what you've got to focus on, is moving forward and getting ready for the Bobcats and finding ways to accumulate points. Coach, as I always tell you, I know you're a busy guy, and I appreciate you taking some time to talk to us a little bit. And yeah, we move past the weekend and look forward to what this coming weekend up in Bismarck at the VFW Center will bring. And I wish you the best of luck up there. We'll catch up on Friday.
Thanks, sir.
And once again, that's the voice of your Aberdeen Wings, Jay KleinConnect, catching up with the head coach of those Wings, Scott Langer, on the program. A trip to Bismarck is coming up this weekend. Bismarck, the number one ranked team in all of the Central Division, sitting at 25-4. Just 1-1 there with a shootout win and a shootout loss. But a team that has had themselves a fantastic start in 31 games here this season, and the puck drop each night up there over on 94.1 The Rock with the voice of the Wings, Jay KleinConnect, on the play-by-play. Those games and broadcasts are courtesy of Avera Health, moving health forward, with JK on the call for both of those contests this upcoming Friday and Saturday on 94.1 The Rock. Looking forward to those contests there. Until tomorrow, this is David Tewksbury saying ever onward, always forward, and never backward. That's it for us and our time together here today. We are back at it tomorrow for a Wolves Midweek edition of the Sports Hub right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM.